issues, but we are now here. Thanks everyone for joining. I'm going to start by calling the meeting order at 10:07, and I'll begin with roll call in no particular order. For those on the phone, this is committee co-chair David Corris, Doug Delino.
Here.
Paul Hinch.
Here, sorry.
Here.
Tom Patton.
Here.
Paul Waitsgarber.
Here.
Felix Reyes is not here, but with a quorum, we're good to go. And I'll welcome member Gavin Vesco, who's not a member of the committee, but thank you for being here to participate. I'll start with the approval of the November 21st Finance Committee meeting minutes. I'll entertain a motion.
So moved, David.
Moved by Tom, second.
Second.
Second by Doug. Any questions, comments, or requested edits? Okay, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Okay. Any opposed? Yeah, yeah. John's abstaining. Sorry.
Wasn't there.
Next item on the agenda is public comment. Any members of the public wish to speak at this time? Please unmute your line, or if you're on the phone, press *6 to unmute, or *9 to raise your hand. Does that work on this one, or is that just on the other?
It's your bumble.
Yeah, okay. Any members of the public wish to speak at this time, press *6 to unmute your line. Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to the financial update. And Faye, I'll hand it straight to you since Ulysses is caught in trap. I know he's here. Hello, Ulysses.
I'm on the road. I'm on the road. Yeah, stuck in traffic here on 95.
Lucky you, Ulysses.
Good everyone. All right, just to highlight two changes that would have occurred.
Can you just speak up a little bit?
Oh, I'm sorry. Just to highlight two changes that would have occurred since last financial meeting. The 30 million bond commission that was allocated on June 30th, 2023. It was originally included in 2024 because it was received in 2024. Subsequent to the audit, we have included it in 2023. So you will see in capital contribution state under fiscal year 2023, 30 million included. And we will see in the cash flow for 2024 where it is received. The second change.
Yeah, so I just want to make sure everyone's clear on that. So the bond commission action was on June 30th. We did not receive the funding until this fiscal year, but in subsequent conversation, so we had been treating it as FY24.
But we did get it.
Yeah.
In that fiscal year.
Well, we didn't.
We didn't,
but
we received it in 2024.
Correct.
However,
the auditors,
the state is treating it as a payable per se in 2023.
Right.
So we are matching their treatment.
Right.
And also the implementation of GASB 97, which is an accounting treatment on leases, whereby all of CPA's leases will be subject to amortization and treated as per the present day value.
So you'll now see on our balance sheet the total net present value of our future lease revenue from NEO. So it's a $17.1 million line at this point in the fiscal year. And you'll see that diminishing over the coming 9 years now.
Okay.
Which is also reflective of the payables, the lease payables for the old Saybrook Junction, right? Lease, and for the NECR track lease. All right.
And that's our long-term and current lease liabilities, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
So starting with the statement of revenue and expenditure. Total revenue for general operations, $1.8 million, which comprises of $288,000 from DOT Core, $81,000 from Impact Fee Gateway, $28,000 from Pilotage Commission, $380,000 from Accessible Revenue, $3,600 from DOT Parcel Lease.
So, Phil, can you just explain the jump from on other expenditure that's not where it says it in the budget was $245,000,
mm-hmm.
and we have as of actual $2,242,000. What's that change?
Okay, I'll reach there, John.
We'll get there. Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
It's a big change, but it's an accounting change yeah. rather than a cash
okay.
change.
All right.
Yep, that's okay. Interest income from Neo Lease, $140,000, and the amortization of the deferred inflow for the Neo Lease, $859,000.
So, Faye, just one question there. It's the interest income on the lease.
Uh-huh.
That is not our escrow lease. I mean, excuse me, our escrow interest, correct?
No, that's...
This is related to the GASB
yes.
accounting,
yes.
right? So there's not actually... an account
no.
garnering interest.
No.
This is the way that the net present value is rectified
yes.
with actual cash.
Yes.
Correct?
So it's
yes.
not actual cash at the end of the line, right? We don't have it to it.
Well, no, it is.
It is revenue.
Because the 859,996
yeah.
is the amount that we were holding as a deferred revenue associated
nice.
With the lease. But the actual cash payment to us that is equivalent to that is $1 million.
Yes.
And so the interest okay. is the way in which we account for the delta between the NPV of the deferred revenue that we're holding on the books and the actual amount that we get paid, which is in excess of that.
Okay, I got that.
But yeah, I mean, I don't personally really understand the use of the word interest, but I at least understand what it's trying to tell us.
David, it's about as crazy as the fact that we got expense depreciation.
Correct.
you just answered your question actually. Yes.
Yeah, I think one of the ways to think about it is they have a liability to us. And that liability carries an imputed interest rate, basically, is how I think of it.
It's kind of like like a cap rate, kind of.
Yeah,
right?
It's because they have an obligation that then ends up as a liability on their books now as they start, you know, doing this accounting treatment, and they're not paying it all up front. They then say, okay, then what portion of that can we impute as an interest charge? Rather than an underlying lease obligation, and they break that up. And so their liability gives rise to an imputed interest.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
And do we have to like confirm with them that they're breaking it down similarly, or are we just...
That's good. That's a good question for Melissa. I don't know. Yeah. There's probably, I presume there's some formula with some... nominal interest rate, yeah.
So you just trust that they're using the same
mm-hmm.
as SOFR or something.
Yeah. Okay.
Moving on to expenditure. Total expenditure, $2.7 million, comprising of salaries and benefits, $234,000, contractual services, $181,000, marketing and business development, $350,000. Administrative and general expenditure, $28,000. And the big other, 2,200,000. Out of that 2,200,000, 2,100,000 is a combination of depreciation and amortization, which are non-cash values. So if we were to take that in con into consideration, the change in net position, as opposed to 9/11, a loss of 9/11, it will be a positive 1.2 million.
And so what is, Faye and I have talked about this a bit since our last meeting, like other than verbally conveying that, where in our monthly finances would it be appropriate to look or have that number? Not really anywhere, right? Like
The most you can do is you can include it. It will be included under expenditure, but as opposed to including it in other, if we separate it from other and have it as a line item itself.
yeah, and then you would know that you always take the change in net position, net out the depreciation line, and that is your real deficit or surplus.
Is there any reason why you couldn't footnote it if necessary?
So it is included in the notes on page 3 as under number 5 where it's listed, but it is included in the other expenditure. So it's only if I take it out from other and have it on the face of the statement of revenue and expenditure. It will still have the same impact, but at least you would
At
see
least you can
it.
take just two lines and net them. I think that makes sense if everyone agrees.
Sometime along the way, somebody would be looking at this thing and anything we can do to make it clearer is probably a good thing.
So that can be done. So as I said, change in net position, general operations will is currently minus 9/11, with the adjustment for depreciation and amortization will be a surplus of 1.2 from general operations. Moving on to non-operating, capital contribution state 58,000, capital contribution from partner 23,750,000. Interest income, CT funded, 188,000.
Okay, sorry, can I just go back to depreciation for 1 second? So that number, that annual depreciation amount, is going to go up when the remainder of the facility is put into use, and then it will stay at that consistent amount for 50 years,
Yes, because it
correct?
is a straight line basis.
And this 2.1 is the annual amount, or that's been half of the annual amount?
No,
It's
that's
half.
for the
It's
period
just for this
July
third
to
time period.
November,
Right.
which is
So
four.
ultimately, we are going to have
Yes.
$6 to $7 million a year, right?
More correct.
So ultimately, a balanced budget
With
will
the
show a
deficit.
deficit of $6 to $7 million because of
Because of
depreciation.
depreciation.
So who tells
Yeah.
you what to how much to depreciate?
So the depreciation,
You have
it's
a
over
schedule?
50 years. So the value of the state fair divided over 50
So
years.
you computed
We
Yes.
chose the
Hours.
time, we chose the time period in conjunction with the engineers and the useful life. Obviously, we think it's going to last more than 50 years, but we thought that that was an appropriate design life. And then,
And 50 years actually is the maximum that we can apply. And non-operating expenditure, 101,000. Change in net position, non-operating, 24 million roughly. And total change in net position, 23 million roughly. Moving on to the notes, Any questions? Sorry. Moving on to the notes, a breakdown of the operational expenses, payroll, $234,000, contractual services, $180,000, marketing and business development, $350,000, administrative and general expenses, $28,000, other $2.2, which comprises of the depreciation and amortization of $2.1. Purchase of fixed assets, zero for the period.
So, Faye, when you say 2.1, you're including the rent amortization.
Yes.
Okay. But that. What, so the rent amortization does convert to an actual expenditure over the
Yes,
course of the
but it
year.
can vary to what is paid.
Okay. But the NECR amortization kind of fades off of our operating account because it's ultimately paid.
So same thing there. It is an amortization of the lease, but it can vary to what is paid, the cash amount that is paid. So it may not vary by much based on how much and how the payment system is, but it would not necessarily would equate to the value.
Right. What time period does that 13,000, like how does that as budgeted, how does that relate the rent amortization?
That will be for the 4 months as well.
Okay, but and is that you say it may vary, but it's comparable.
Yes, it may not be very much, but yes.
Okay. And so we're there's an expense, but where is the actual lease? Is it no longer up?
Yes, so it's there. So you'll see the split between the amortization and
What page are you on, Judith?
I'm on
these are page
three.
What page?
Three. So, where's the actual lease payment? Or is it not? Is it?
No, it's
It would be administrative expenses, right? No. Or is that it then? Is that where it shows up?
there. Oh, sorry, David. It's included in the interest. The
In
interest expenditure leases on the front of revenue and expenditure, where you have expenditure interest leases, and you have a further note on page on page five. At the top of page five, lease liability interest charge.
Yeah.
That's $16.88. And we're total to the 15,000. So the 101,356 at the top of page five.
Yes, is this month's.
Not this month, but this period.
Perfect. And will I see? I won't see 10. Well, I won't see 159.708 somewhere in.
159.708 will be. That's what I said, it wouldn't be in a tight
right.
back exactly, but
it's close.
Right,
it's close to the 149.13.
And 13.312.
Yeah, it's a little weird. It's definitely a little weird. Tower's both good, so.
The variance may apply as if there's an increase, especially for the NCR, how there's an interest increase over the period.
Mm-hmm.
And if we were to apply a flat
mm-hmm.
payment
mm-hmm.
throughout the period, that variance would always
mm-hmm.
okay.
So it should match up at the end of the year.
At the end of the
yeah,
year.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Right. It's just so it's, they're just being
it will have variances
different rates.
Based on how it's treated.
Yeah.
How the lease is penny.
Yeah, it's funny, like some of the stuff when they come out with like a new Gatsby thing, it's almost like it's like, you know, a make work program
yes.
for CPAs because
yes.
it's it just gets it gets further and further from like a logical understanding of what's in front of you, and it just requires then footnotes and explanation
yes.
to link it back to reality.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everyone's on the same page?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with Tom.
Moving on to the balance sheet. Or did I jump?
No, that's good.
Moving
yeah, but you're right, David. I mean, these standards don't... The whole idea was to get the standards to say, hey, look, you've got an ongoing obligation in the future that they have to mark down as a liability on your books. You can't just do this lease accounting anymore. And but then this is the result you get, which is as clear as mud, you know. So I don't think it can be both helpful and detrimental to understanding the financial statements.
Right. In principle, they're trying to make sure that that long-term obligation
is recorded. It was captured in some way. Exactly.
A way in which that long-term obligation becomes an actual expenditure is convoluted.
Yeah. Well, yeah, right.
Assets, current assets. Cash and cash equivalents, 2.1 million. Restricted cash, 40.2 million. Due from State of Connecticut, 169,000. Receivables, deposits, and prepaid expenses, 88,000. And lease receivable, which is the current portion from the new lease, 1.3 million. Restricted cash would be the Webster escrow. The due from State of Connecticut will be with regards to payroll, the DOT, along with other receivables, deposits, and prepaid 88. And well, I stated the lease receivable current from the year 1.3.
And that 1.3 does not include the interest.
No, it does not include the interest,
yes.
And it will be in excess because the second 500,000 was not received as yet.
Yes.
The non-current assets, lease receivable from NEO, the non-current portion, 16.2 million. Capital assets, net of accumulated depreciation, 276 million. Right to use assets, net.
And the capital assets is the total amount that we've invested or just the total amount invested in the portion that's in service?
No, total amount.
This is total amount
invested.
So that's the entire amount, a portion of which has started to depreciate.
Yes.
Okay. And will there be a new 50-year clock when the... remaining portion of the facility, or will it just be amortized in a, I mean, I don't want to overly complicate.
That's an actual interesting question, dude. That I will have to discuss with the auditors.
Yeah. Good question, dude. No.
Won't that depend on improvements that we do to it?
Because in reality, it should actually only fall within the existing 50 years. But then you can't state it is something by itself and it only went into
service.
So I would confirm that treatment.
Right.
But as it is, it would be applied its own 50 years.
Yeah. I would encourage us just to amortize or depreciate the whole thing over 50 years without trying to have subsets of it. I mean, you know, the universal nature that it's going to last as one unit, you know, the last piece we hand over isn't going to last any appreciable difference longer. It's a single entity, and otherwise that's going to get really confusing.
No, I think that's right. Once completed, it's a consolidated single facility, and the delta is only 1 year at most. So it would be bizarre to.
In fact, a few months or even. Current liabilities. Oh, any questions with regards to non-current assets?
Remind me, right to use. That's the NECR.
Yes, that's the NECR lease.
Yeah.
NECR and the Seabrook Junction, but mainly the NECR.
And so, forgive me for kind of harping on this, but help me understand how a future revenue stream coming from our lease to NEO and a future liability in terms of the lease payments that we will owe to NECR, how are those both treated as assets?
So the NECR would be, how to say this, because it is, it's the net off to the liability, if that explains it. Because we created a liability on the account for that, for those payments, it has to be a corresponding asset.
Okay. So it offsets the $4.49 million further down as the liability, and so right to use is the asset.
It's
our utilization of the facility, or of the property is our asset to balance off the liability. Okay, all right, I get that, makes sense.
You got it. And the same for, so you would see also deferred inflow of resources. Well, but
is the, is the liability to offset the asset of the future lease revenue?
Yes.
Right. Got it.
And
those don't perfectly match in either instance,
no.
Just because of the rates that are applied.
What's been used for the current year, what's accrued for the remaining period, and what's accrued for the long term. Accounts payable, $48,000. Due to NEO, $229,000.
Retainage. That's their interest.
That's the interest.
On their escrow.
On the Webster escrow.
Yes. Yeah. So folks will just recall there's multiple escrow accounts, depending on who made the contribution. We're entitled to the interest on all of our accounts. They're entitled to the interest on their contributions.
Retainage payable, $8,380,000. Unearned revenue, $12,000. This unearned revenue is on the Deep Webster accounts. Lease liability current, $28,000. This is regarding the NECR and the Seabrook Junction leases. Accrued expenses and other, $22,000. The lease liability for the NECR and Seabrook Junction leases, it's a small amount due to the fact that we prepay the NECR lease.
Okay, remind me where our interest shows up?
Oh, our interest is on the revenue and expenditure page
Right.
under non-operating.
And so we don't consider that.
That will be included in the amount stated for the Webster escrows.
Right.
That's in the restricted
It's in the
cash.
restricted. Okay.
Yeah.
It's in the restricted. Got it.
The accrued expenses and other 22,000.
Why is such a significant difference from June to November?
In which line, Joe?
For which?
It was in June, it was 18 million, looks like, and now it's 22,000.
Oh, the accrued expenses would have included Kiewit, their written applications. I think there were about two or three written applications approved for, and all the year-end invoices for the construction.
That hadn't been paid
Yeah.
yet,
Yeah.
but had been logged and working
Once
their
it
way through the
covered periods
process.
within the fiscal year.
Right. So
And
it's just a product of the fact that at the moment of the close of the fiscal year, substantial construction invoices had been received,
but yet they
but
not
yet,
yet paid.
yeah. And the reason, John, that it may not be included as of November is we would not have received them as of yet. So there may be Kiewit invoices payable that will cover periods up to November, but because we have not received it, it's not included.
Right, it's interesting.
I
It's
agree.
a
Yeah.
go ahead, Tom.
No, I was just gonna say, I mean, it's so I presume it rather, I think you said, David, it's because we had received the invoices. I suspect it's because we had not yet received the invoices, but we knew we had the obligation. Is that right, Faye? If we had received the invoices, it would have been an AP.
Right. So we may not have received it, but it would have covered work done up to June 30th, 2023.
Right. So they say, hey, we've got this stack. You're going to owe us 18 million. We say, okay, great. We're going to accrue that as an expense. And then they give us the bills. Then it turns into AP and then we pay it.
Is it because of the process though with the escrow? Because like, so the way it works, we receive an invoice, it gets vetted and approved. We issue a written direction that has to be signed off on by NEO. So is it because it's in that window where we have the invoice, but it hasn't yet worked its way through the
So
global approval
in
process?
that case, we would not have had the invoice.
Okay.
It
Okay.
generally takes a while before the invoice is received for a period.
Okay.
So
So
especially
it is that they have conveyed to us the amount, but not submitted the paperwork.
we would have received the paperwork after, and that's
Oh,
where
okay.
we would have accrued for that
Okay.
period. So once we receive the invoices, so within July and even August up to September,
Yes.
where we will receive the invoices, once it's covering a period up to June 30th, 2023, we would have had to accrue for it because it was work done within that period. So the cost was incurred for that period.
So it's an unpaid bill as of June 30th. There's no finance charges that we get charged as a result of the contract, right?
Because the bill would have been received, as I said, either in August or September,
They
July,
understand
August
the
or
process.
So
yeah.
it's not that it was an unpaid bill. It's
It's
an
just
allocation of the expenses that actually occurred in
in that
that
period.
period, but were not known
Right.
until subsequently.
Until we would have
Yeah.
received it after.
Yeah, it's the anticipation of knowing you have an obligation. This is kind of what it is.
Oh, well,
Nice way of putting
well, not
it.
anticipation at all, because
Yeah.
we know we see
Yeah, well, I mean, we
them
know what it is, but.
just as after the
Yeah.
period.
Okay. Got it.
I'm at deferred inflow of resources. So this deferred inflow of resources for Lease NEO is similar to the right to use asset. In the case of this is used to net off the receivable from NEO. Net position as of, no, I'm jumping, sorry. Net change in net assets, 310 million. Or net assets as of November 30th, 310 million. Net position as of the beginning of the period, 287 million. And change in net position as seen from the revenue and statement of revenue and expenditure, 23 million, totaling a net position of 310 million, 500,000. Moving to page five, this shows a breakdown of the lease liability for the Saybrook Junction and the track lease for NECR, as well as the lease receivable from NEO. Numbers 7 and 8. Number 9 shows the capital assets. As David was asking, this shows the separation between what was placed into service for the State Fair and what is still on in construction in progress. That's number 9. And number 10 shows the right to use asset change for Seabrook and the track lease. Any questions for page five?
When do we think we're gonna, I mean, I'm sure it's in Ulysses' report, but when do we think we're gonna hand over the rest of the site?
We've got a couple sequential turnovers. There'll be a partial turnover this month. There'll be a partial turnover next month at the end of the dredging. We expect substantial completion, like end of February, with some punch list items spreading out that need to wait for warmer weather, but punch list items. So
Yeah.
all, you know, substantial completion end of February is essentially where we're at.
Are any of the items on the proposed punch list hindering the construction of the? No,
No.
good.
No. There'll be some coordination necessary with Ørsted once they take the remainder of the facility with Siemens, but
Nothing that's
major.
way better than a big five.
No. Yeah, Ulysses will go into greater detail at the board meeting, but we're through 2 out of 3 of the, you know, challenge areas, and the third one's wrapping up.
Cash flow. Moving on to page six, statement of cash flows. Cash flows from operating activities. Cash received for services, 488,000. State of Connecticut appropriations, 13,058,000. This is where the bond funds, the 30 million, was received. Harbor development revenue, 23,750,000. Cash payment for customers, 421,000. Cash flow from capital and related financing activities, acquisition of capital assets, 33 million. Payment for core projects, 778,000. Interest received on new lease, 78,778. Payment received towards new lease, 429,000. So the total between the 78,000 and the 429 will be the 5,500,000 payment that new made. Cash flow from investing activities, interest on investments for CPA, 191,000. Interest on investments for new, 140,000. Totaling 332,000. Net change in cash equivalents and restricted cash, 21,500,000. Cash and cash equivalents and restricted cash as of June 30th, 21 million. Cash and cash equivalents as of November 30th, 42 million. And a summary of the cash and cash equivalents. We have the 2.2 million general operational, and the restricted cash, 40 million. Totally 42 million. Page 7, an analysis of the project balances as for 4.
So it's the expenditure FY24 and the encumbrance FY24 that are the change.
That will be the changes, right? Yeah.
So the big one here is New Haven dredging, looks like, huh?
5 million.
$4 million.
4 million.
The thing that you really said.
Number 20.
Yes. But no expenditures this fiscal year.
No.
Yeah. Right, you can see the various ship projects. So, yeah.
And that is actually 5 million because what has happened, there were two bond commission
right.
amounts that were granted, 5 million and the 1 million. We are awaiting the 1 million right now. And then page 8, the analysis of the HDB.
I think the line item here for Fort Trumbull Pier 7, that's just for the engineering, right?
Yes.
Nothing to do with construction.
I believe that's correct.
Yes, that's the finite engineering. Any questions for page 7 or page 8?
Just one question. I don't know if you can answer this, but it's probably more for Ulysses, but the DOT parcels, you know, we have the bond commission amendment to make New Haven the eligible recipient, but I see there's been no activity, so they haven't.
So, no, the payment actually was done in December.
Oh, okay.
So you would see the change in December.
Got it.
But there will still be a balance of 54,000.
Yeah. Great. Okay. Any other questions or comments from anyone? It's toasty in here. Any old business? Any new business? All right, entertain a motion to adjourn.
Oh,
moved by John, there's a second. Second by Tom. Meeting is adjourned at 10:50. Thanks, everyone.